because we've got others out there who like to catch up if they miss a little something. We're reading from a book called Fostering Faust. He's made a deal with, a god, or rather a devil. I believe her name is Leia. And the world on which he's been sent to in order to be back in the land of the living, although not his former land of the living, is a world where he is a count. And the king there has forced him to find a wife, at least one. He's chosen two. He recently signed a marriage contract with the first. The other, being a sweet little thing named Holly rather than Anna, let's just say that she's in a position of it's a compromising position, and she needs the help well enough so much that she'll do what she's told. And his first wife-to-be, Anna, is more than happy to exploit that and help him exploit anything else that they seem to find that will be to their use. Alrighty, so we left off with him signing one marriage contract. Okie doke. He has just told Anna that there is a quota that needs to be met in order for his crystal to be filled by Leia and for him to be okay for the month. They're going to make sure they date Holly's contract so that it affects the following month and does them much more good. So, after she gave him a happy and bright smile, leaning forward as well, he asked her, "Now, how about you tell me all about Holly and what we can use against her?" And then he kissed her in earnest. Later on, Alex knelt down and bowed his head in supplication. "Rise, Count Britt. We were worried when we heard the affairs that took place in our city," said the king. Standing up, Alex didn't respond immediately. He didn't plan on revealing anything at all to the king. Not a damned thing, if he could help it. In his book, Alex was fairly certain the king had orchestrated the whole thing, that the bandits were more than likely royal guard dressed up or brigands pressed into service. And if a count was taken for ransom, it would be a serious breach of the king's security. But if an unharmed count was found and saved by the royal guard, who'd lost him, no problem. All would be well. Instead, the king was now left with a security incident, an entire city talking about a count that died but didn't, and his entire plan scrapped. "You have better things to do, don't you? Like running a kingdom," thought Count Britt. "We are well pleased that not only have you come out of the other side of this trying ordeal for the better of it, but with a wife to match. From what we've been told by our clerk, you've taken Master Eulis' daughter Anna to wife, and a baron's daughter Holly Lynn as well to wed. Is that correct?" "That is correct, Your Majesty. I enjoyed speaking with both of them immeasurably. I found that since you ordered me to wed, I would not only perform my duty, but to the greatest extent possible." "And in marrying a commoner and a noble, your requirements are met on both sides, no matter which way you could have argued," he thought to the king. unsaid, of course. We are done with this charade, or excuse me, are we done with this charade yet, he thought. Can I go home now? I do have projects to work on, he thought to himself, such as those things, those women he keeps trapped in his dungeon. Yes, we are well pleased with this. We'd asked you to remain and possibly hold your wedding ceremony here, but we understand you've already requested to go home. Yes, Your Highness, I fear that without me, my county could at any time be at the whims of fate. And while I admit that seems melodramatic, it is my sincere worry that I could possibly fail His Highness in my duty as his retainer by not being there. Bowing his head to the king and remaining bowed, I've given you all possible respect while offering no offense, giving you no reason to pursue this. Just let me go back home, and you can worry about your dukes. They're your problem, not me, he thought to himself. Alex had noted the empty throne next to the king. Once again, the queen refused to be part and parcel to anything. Or the queen herself maybe is your problem, he thought to himself. The silence drew on for a while. He'd cornered the king fairly well with his respect and giving face to him, so there wasn't much His Majesty could do without looking as if he had indeed been plotting on the side. We release you then, Count Britt. Back to your county. We regret we won't be able to see your marriage ceremony, but do wish you the best with it, and hope that you enjoy your new married life. I'm sure I will, Your Highness, Alex said, not raising his head, but falling to a knee instead. After a few seconds of respectful prostration, Alex stood and left the throne room, not wanting to waste any further time here. His plan was to leave as quickly as possible, so much so that everyone was already packed and waiting at the mansion. It would take only a few minutes to pass word along to the house staff to shutter most of the mansae up, and they'd be gone. No sooner than he exited the palace had Carla taken her place at his side. Ever since the incident, he'd noticed Rudolph and his people started treating Carla like one of their own, if not more so. She gave him a look with a quirk brow. Home again, home again. Jiggity jig, Alex said with a smirk. Carla snorted at that. You owe me a day off. Today doesn't count. Sure it does. No, master. Mistress Anna already ruled in my favor on this matter, Carla said with a sour grin. Though she did tell me that if I came to her in the future without consulting you first, she'd make sure you used me improperly and that I wouldn't be cleaned up. Ha! Good, he thought. That's good. She'll end up costing me a bit because she'll argue for fairness, but she won't let anyone get a better deal on us or be subversive. With every interaction, he was feeling better about Anna. Chapter 14. Alex took in a deep breath and then let it out in a whoosh. He knew it seemed silly since he hadn't called this place home long, but he genuinely felt better to be back in Britt, the courtyard of his keep in Britt, to be exact. They'd made great time and had arrived just after sunrise. where the only power higher than himself was miles away and only wanted their share of his pie. A CEO who wants me to kick him his bone and a bunch of peers doing the same thing? I can do this all day, he thought. Carla stood beside him, her head swiveling around as she took in the sight. Not bad, she said, her eyes moving along the walls. I think I might actually get a chance to rest here. Definitely a lot less of a security concern here, Alex couldn't help but agree. Rudolph and another man set down a large wooden locked trunk beside him. Sir, I'll check with Max and return to my duties, Rudolph said, bowing his head to Alex. Welcome, Set Mooney. I do hope you like a good story. Good work, Rudolph, Alex said to the man. I'll be sure to express my admiration to Max. Rudolph and the other man left Carla, nodding at them as they did. I take it they trust you now? Alex sat down on the trunk and gave it a pat next to him. Yeah, I think at first they just thought I was warming your bed and little else. Now it's... Carla paused and a frown slowly developing. Now it's like they see me as a guard. After a second more, she sighed and sat down next to him on the trunk. What are your plans for the day? I'll settle in otherwise and take my day off tomorrow, she said. Ah, I'll be visiting my dungeon, checking in on my prospects, Alex said. He paused to watch Anna and Holly wander from one end of the courtyard to the other. Walter will inevitably track me down later on for a session of the month's justice. I'm sure there's a backlog. Carla grunted and then scratched at her stomach with one hand. I'll get my room arranged then. Make myself home. I suppose, unless you have an order for me. No, I'm sure everything will work itself out. As far as sleeping arrangements go, Anna and Holly already claimed the chamber attached to my own. We might need to have Walter convert a nearby room into another attached one for you, unless you plan on sleeping in my room every night. Carla snorted at that and stood up. Not if I can help it. Until then, master. Nodding his head to that, Alex couldn't disagree. It'd be best if she slept separately. He planned on having a great many deals made, a number of which would require an empty bedroom. Speaking of, Alex muttered, getting up, he unlocked the trunk and opened it. Valeria lay curled on her side, her face matted with sweat. How are you doing in there? Alex asked. She looked up, uncomfortable. He imagined her knees, back, and shoulders were aching from the confined space. He had let her out each time they had stopped on the way to take care of her needs and catch a breather, but otherwise she'd been confined to the box. Sleeping had been the one exception to this, but he imagined that had been just as uncomfortable. She'd been bound at the wrists and feet, trussed up like a hog, and dumped into the carriage by herself. The shackle around her wrist clanked as she lifted her head to look up at him. "Hot, thirsty, are we there?" she asked, her head slowly coming higher to peek out of the trunk.
"Yes, we are. I'll have you transferred to your cell in a moment, and then we can have a chat about your future. It might be a good time to consider your position, what you want, and what you're willing to give," Alex said seriously.
Valeria looked around the courtyard for a few seconds, then looked at him. She nodded her head, then laid back down in the trunk. Closing the trunk gently, Alex relocked it and sat back down on it. He'd need to have two of his dungeon guards bring it when he got the chance. Anna and Holly vanished into a keep door, trailing along behind one of Walter's people. No time like the present, I suppose. Looking around, he saw another one of Walter's people and waved him over.
"Sir?"
said the young man, coming to stand in front of Alex. "Send missive to Sylvia Griffin that I've returned and await her company," Alex said, honoring his side of the bargain. "Also, could you have Douglas come see me? I need to have this trunk moved." Moving through the hallway that ran along the line of cells, he didn't announce his presence to Riley. She'd not see Valeria going by her, nor Alex's return. "Put it up against the wall for now and leave it there. I might have use for it in here later. After that, consider this a standard prisoner cell with one change. If she asks for a meal, we'll need to provide her with whatever a standard meal is for a local, decent quality inn," Alex said to Douglas. "And if she does, you'll need to keep track of it. A simple tally system will do."
"Understood, sir."
"Great. Anything I need to know? Did one do all right? Any concerns, problems, or questions while I was gone?"
No, sir. She did ask often where you were. We followed your orders and provided her with baths, made sure to add extra fruit and vegetables to each meal, both to be given with your compliments. She checked in every time to make sure she had all she needed. We checked in every time to make sure she had all she needed and instructed her it was by your orders."
Good. All right. Thank you, Douglas. I'm going to break this new one in. I may or may not have order changes for you after this."
"Oh, and before I forget, Lady Griffin will be returning. Please reinstate her accommodations to what they were previously.
"Of course, sir."
"Glad to have you back," Douglas said,
bowing his head. Then he left, going through the same hallway they'd used to get in. Alex unlocked the trunk and then left the cell. He pulled the iron gate shut as he exited and locked it.
"Come on out, Valeria. You're home," Alex called.
Creaking on its hinges, the lid to the trunk opened cautiously. Alex watched as Valeria's head came up. Her hazel-colored eyes flitted from one side of her cell to the other.
"You're alone, and no one will harm you. If you come on over this way and put your wrists through the bars, I'll unlock the shackles," Alex said. Taking several steps back, he put himself at a distance from the bars. Valeria looked to him, then slowly got to her feet. Her hair was a wild disarray of what could only be called a rat's nest. And her tunic was rumpled and sweat-stained. Stepping out of the trunk,
She stretched one way and then the other.
That was unpleasant, Valeria said, her tone neutral.
I'm sure it was. We can always use it later as a punishment or a reward,
Alex said with a smile. Now that he had her where he wanted her, he could start curbing her personality to fit his desires. Part of that would be indulging her needs and wants, which could very well include being locked in the trunk for all he knew. Given her personality, it was a possibility. Let's see, where was I? She walked over to him and stuck her arms through the bars. Come closer. Get yourself pressed up to the bars and stretch out as far as you can. I'll not be giving you the possibility of catching me. Sorry, Alex said, complying. Valeria squeezed up against the bars and held her arms in front of her. Smoothly as he could, Alex unlocked the shackle and put it away from her before she could take it into the cell with her. There's the kitten, who loves to play with Master's boots. She pretends there's laces she can bat around. Well, said Alex, the rules here are pretty simple. As she drew back into her cell, you'll be fed regularly, given all the amenities you'll need to survive and be left alone. No harm will befall you, said Alex. No one will hurt you, and no one will contact you, Alex said. He paused for a second, contemplating if he wanted to offer her anything. And the deals will be like the last one, asked Valeria. You'll offer me things and I can say no? Valeria asked, inspecting her bed. That's right. The deal for your meals.
will continue, of course. The last unpaid tally we had before we left was 4 meals, so 12 swats. Valeria nodded, and nodded her head, but otherwise didn't respond.
Just to catch you up, his deal with Valeria after she tried to assassinate him was that, she was imprisoned by him, was that she could have meals the quality of a suitable inn, but for every meal she asked for, she got a swat from him. He got the privilege of spanking her pretty ass. So, for the meals that she's been given, she owes him 12 swats. Isn't that delightful?
Good, he said. Now, before I go, I'd like to make you a deal, if you're willing.
Of course, Valeria said, vanishing behind the privacy screen to properly inspect her bathroom, as it were.
I'm willing to offer you the chance to have a hairbrush and a couple of changes of clothes. A mirror as well, Alex said.
Right, Fantasy? I definitely like all of those, she called over the screen. But what's the price?
You'll have to swear an oath to not harm myself, yourself, or anyone in my household. You'll also have to swear to not make any attempt at escape.
Fairly simple things, really.
It'll also make our deals moving forward much easier to conduct.
Ah. Those do seem prudent. Yes, I'll swear to that, to all of that, on my soul and life, in Leia's name, on our previous bargain.
And there it is, he thought. Wonderful. I accept and swear the oath as well. I'll have everything brought in for you shortly. Now, I need to be going unless there's anything you need.
No, she said.
Alex left her cell and headed back to the dungeon guard post.
He turned over the shackle to them and made arrangements for Valeria's new needs, then entered the corridor that ran through each cell. Walking through Sylvia's cell, he glanced in to see a guard giving it a once-over and seemingly making sure it was as it should be.
Oh my, never. What a beautiful look you have going on. I do so love the dress.
Oh, the net shows you off very nicely.
Very pretty, darling. Let's see here.
Alex nodded to the man and entered Riley's cell as quietly as possible. With any luck, he'd catch her sleeping. Though the morning had passed a while ago, it was much closer to lunch now. Riley's head jerked up from her seat at her table. She was sitting in her uniform, doing nothing at all. Before she could start stripping, Alex smiled and held up a hand.
Good morning, one. No need to strip this time. You weren't expecting me.
And I see you're wearing your lovely uniform, Alex said, coming up to the bars.
Master, it's good to see you. I hope everything went well, she asked, bouncing up from the table and moving over to him at the bars. Her enthusiasm to see him was definitely a good turn of events.
You're going to have my boot just ready to dangle at my foot, aren't you, darling? Let's see here. Though it felt slightly ahead of schedule, he'd left her alone on a positive note and set up a number of gifts for her in his name and in his absence. But even then, she seemed genuinely happy to see him. That, or she'd seen such little kindness in her life that even the small bits he'd given her were more than she'd ever had. As well as can be expected when dealing with our Toad King, Alex admitted with a smile and sigh. In the end, I was forced to take a wife. Otherwise, everything is as it was. She could use a compliment right now, I bet, he thought. When we left, we had just converted her over to her new persona. She's had some time to live in it. Seems like it's fitting her well, he thought. Let's encourage it. Now, hold on there, said Alex in a curious tone. Leaning back, he gave her a once-over. You certainly look much better, all in all. The bruises are all gone, and you look like you have a much better coloring to you. And you definitely fill out that uniform nicely, Juan. Riley blushed deeply, looking to the ground, and clasped her hands in front of herself. I think I've been eating more regularly than I did living in the city, she said. One of her hands came up to toy with an errant curl of red hair. The person you said would come cut my hair did. They just trimmed it up. Said they hadn't heard from you what you wanted it to be yet. Well, you look good. Beautiful, even. Pardon me. And your collar really fits your neck quite well. Would you lift your chin and show me your tag? Alex asked. He made sure to phrase it as a request, not an order. Riley lifted her head up immediately and met his eyes, her left hand cupping her tag and holding it out to him. Ah, you've kept it clean. Good girl. How are you otherwise, Juan?
I'm good, Master. I'm good. Although I like eating as often as I get to, I think I'm very tired of eating the same thing every day, she said, still holding her tag up to him.
Alex smiled at her and gestured at the tag with a finger indicating she could drop it. I see. What else?
I've had my moon blood a day ago. I'm afraid I dirtied the sheets on accident, Master. The guards took care of it and were polite about it.
But, he wondered. Alex waited, smiling encouragingly at her, leaning up against the bars.
I'd like to have a bath, but the guard said it wouldn't be available anymore when you returned. That you had given it to me since you couldn't be here. I think I could do...
he thought. I think I could do the previous deal you offered me. Excuse me, I think that is her.
I think I could do the previous deal you offered me. Now, for it.
Poor thing. Doesn't she realize that means little if she wants it? I'll consider it. Not sure a bathtub will run now that I'm back. For the change in meals, though, are you looking for just different food or better food?
Riley looked shocked at his question, as if she hadn't even considered the possibility of better food. Better food, Master? Really?
Alex grinned in what felt to him like a wolf-like way. I'll upgrade your meals to what's served in the local inn and change the variety. But the price will be... Riley's was staring at him, her eyes a bit wider than they were previously. Alex did his best to watch her as he started to offer the deal. He wanted her, craving the deals, to get more for herself, to look forward to them, even when he asked her to demean herself. That you take training as a personal maid. I'll have you working with a keep servant to begin, learning the roles and duties of a personal maid to me. Exclusively, you'll receive pay equal to the job. In addition, you'll be swearing to be celibate, to not touch another man or woman in any way that could even be thought of as romantic or sexual without my permission. You won't be leaving your cell just yet either, but I do need to find use for you. This time a carrot, next time the stick, he thought.
I swear, Master, I accept the deal, and I swear on the oath, Riley said immediately.
Good. Thank you, one. I'll think on the bath. I'll probably drop by later on, all right?
Yes, Master. Of course, Master. Should I make myself nude for you next time?
No. As much as I enjoy the view, it isn't needed. You look too good in your uniform. It'd be a waste. Wear your uniform going forward. We'll take each day as they come. Until the next time, one.
Alex gave her a tight smile, then headed for the door to Sylvia's cell.
Until then, Master, Riley called after him.
Without responding, Alex ducked into Sylvia's cell, then froze as the door shut behind him. Standing in the middle of the cell was the wraith he knew as Leia.
Hello, Alex. She said.
Ah, Leia. It's good to see you, Alex said, pinning the screeching thoughts into submission before they could give anything away. She chortled to herself as if recognizing his attempt for what it was.
Your favor, I do believe. It's time to collect on it, Leia said.
Okay. I was wondering what the possibility would be of having a, second crystal. One that I could offload other deals to for future months' debt.
You're thinking of Eugenia, I take it.
Yes and no. I have no reason to make more deals this month. At all. In fact, my deals in your name will dry up faster than the desert until the new month. There's just nothing to compel me to do anything. There's no reason to offer more deals when I get nothing from it.
No motivation?
The wraith paused, her head tilting to one side.
Yes, I can see how your mind views that and works it. Your wife triggered this thought in you with Holly's contract.
That's right, she did. Providing me with another crystal could also preload my debt. I could preload my debt, would make me work a month in advance. And yet no further than that. After that, one crystal wouldn't change your thinking.
No.
Leia stood there, unmoving. She suddenly snapped her fingers in a very human-like gesture.
I have it. I'll give you a crystal column
as big as a grandfather clock. Whatever excess deals you commit to will fill it. If you were to turn it completely black, it'd be the equivalent of 12 months worth of deals. What do you say to that?
Alex almost resisted the urge to think about that. Almost. With that much leeway to work with, I'd be able to store a massive amount in advance, he thought. Though I wonder if I filled it completely, would she take something in trade for it and give me a new one?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes. Yes, I would. But we'd have to dicker on the price, of course, she said.
Could you stop reading my mind? It'd be nice to have a thought to myself and then convey it to you if I actually wanted to do it.
Oh, sorry. Bad habit. I can't promise anything, but I'll try.
Grumbling, Alex ran a hand through his hair.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll take that as my favor then. Leia held out a hand to him. Without thinking about it, he shook her hand.
We have an accord then.
Also, because I want you to live a long, happy life, and earn me a number of souls and deals, I've taken care of another problem you had.
Oh? What's that?
The STD you had eating away at you. Marta, the whore, gave it to you. You already passed it on to Carla.
Who gave it to Holly? Leia said, deadpan.
I've already seen where you're guiding your deals, and I do approve. With that in mind, I've changed you a bit. Only a tweak, mind you, but still, I changed you. You'll never catch an STD of any sort ever again. In fact, anyone you sleep with will be cured of their own. That's how strong your body's defense will be. Consider it my blessing.
Alex wasn't quite sure how to take that, but he was glad to hear it had been taken care of. He hadn't even considered the problem, although he clearly should have.
Feel free to go cure the world. Excuse me, she said.
Feel free to go cure the world with your dick if you want, but I advise against it, Leia said with a shrug. And then she vanished.
Alex, came a soft whispered voice. Grumbling, he turned his head in the other direction and shifted deeply into his blankets.
Alex, we should probably start the day, came the whispering voice again.
No, he complained.
The sun will be up shortly. You said you were expecting guests today, Anna said, pressing her lips to the inside of his ear.
I'm the Count. Why do I have to get up before the sun?
Because, Anna said, you're the Count. She immediately replied.
Sighing, he opened his eyes to the gloom of his bedroom and turned his head. Anna was curled up against his side, naked and smiling at him. Last night had been awkward, painful, and altogether a strange experience. Anna wasn't one to hold back her thoughts and feelings, and apparently losing her virginity was not something she'd expected to be as painful as it'd been for her. At least she seemed chipper as ever, even if it was a bit of a fiasco.
Good morning, my husband, Anna said, her fingers patting his bare chest. I look forward to trying again tonight. Mummy said the second time is better. Daddy didn't want to talk about it.
I imagine not, he thought. I sure as hell wouldn't want to talk to my daughter about her losing her virginity, and if it'd be painful or not the second time. My apologies, Master Yulies. Thank you for dealing with her for so long, he thought to himself. Yes, we should be receiving guests today, he said, ignoring her comment entirely.
Her name is Sylvia Griffin. She's landed peerage at best, a step away from a commoner status. I imagine she's been doing some dirty dealing to the background to try and increase her stature.
Anna nodded slowly, her eyes round and wide as if he were telling her a horror story. She was caught,
and here we are. I'll be trying her privately.
Are you going to turn her into a conquest?
I think so. We'll see. I could use her.
Anna said, then puffed her cheeks out at him. I'll sneak in when you're away and talk to her. People tell me lots of things. I know I'm not smart, but I'm not stupid.
Her voice took on a lower tone as she spoke. The first real deviation he'd ever seen in her. I wonder about that, he thought, and how self-aware she is.
I think you're just perfect the way that you are, wife, Alex said, poking her between the eyes with his index finger. And yes, please try to get what you can out of her. I think it'd be helpful. Now, you said we should start the day? Any plans?
Anna gave him a bright smile, her demeanor switching right back to how it always was, which of course is a bubbly, shall we say, baby girl? Do I dare?
I'm going to take Holly and meet everyone we can in the keep to learn our new home, if possible. I want to head into town and buy some things as well.
Got it. Well, be sure to take Walter or one of his people with you so he can draw from my own account. I mean, what you are buying are things we'd be sharing, right? Only spend your dowry on things that are specific to yourself.
Anna's face looked as if she couldn't smile any wider. She chirped and pressed her face to his chest, as if hiding from him. Unable to help himself, he smiled at her and patted her shoulders. Looking up from his new wife, he saw a large, multifaceted crystal in the corner, a massive pillar of a thing that stretched from floor to ceiling. It was tucked into a corner and mostly out of the way.
What the?
He thought. And, in his head, as always, the information came to him. A soul crystal, constructed and fashioned by Leia. This pillar is meant to collect excess power and deals generated by Alex Britt. The maximum capacity of the vessel is 12 units of generated power. It is visible only to Alex Britt and Anna Britt. The entire thing was clear as glass. He wondered how much it'd take to fill it. That and what would happen if a maid tried to clean that area. Anna, do you see that big crystal thing in the corner?
Lifting her head from his chest, Anna shifted to one side. She took a moment to view the room, and Alex took a moment to view her naked body.
Anna finally saw the crystal after she scanned the whole room.
That thing? Yes, I see it. What is it? It wasn't there last night.
Remember when you advised me to hold on to contracts until next month? Your comment gave me an idea, and I pitched it to Leia. She agreed, and then apparently provided me with that. It's supposed to hold up to 12 months' worth of power.
Anna nodded her head, then molded herself back to Alex's side. Thank you, Leia, Anna said, pressing her face back into his chest, for everything.
10 minutes to go. I do hope you're all enjoying this.
Alex smiled and bowed his head to Sylvia as she entered the dungeon lobby area.
I'm glad you returned, Sylvia, Alex said. It was still early morning, just after breakfast.
You can swat at his shoes, but unfortunately today he is AFK, darling.
Taps on her toe, on her fingers with my own toe.
Oh, let's see here.
Rudolph becoming their personal guard.
Captain.
Of course, Sylvia said with a grimace, reaching into the bag at her side.
She sighed, pulled out a large packet of papers, and handed it over to him. Per our agreement. One of my people foolishly brought this to me, practically as I arrived. I do hope your mercy is generous for one such as myself. Taking the paperwork in hand, Alex looked at the top page. Then he snorted. It was all black book type stuff, as it were, he guessed. When the top page was a list of payouts to whom and why, he could only imagine the entire thing was that way. And since she'd acted the way she had, these were probably all illegal payouts. Oh, a bubbly baby girl. Oh, let me see here. She's been kept by her daddy. Very, very happy. She has that somewhat bimbo-ish attitude. But if you actually listen to her, she's quite, quite smart. And like most baby girls, she kind of gets what she wants. Even though she's ever, ever so sweet and seems to be giving you your way when she gets it. And I know that might be just a little jaded, but there are baby girls in SL who really do top from the bottom. Yes, her need to please is very, very high. Right? Okie doke, let's see here. Alex said to her after reading the paperwork, I'm sure we can come to an agreement, Sylvia. Come. Let's take this to your room, Alex said, gesturing to the dungeon door. Could we... Sylvia paused, looking around at the guards around her. She wants to make a deal already, huh? Stick to the power play, he thought. I'll be happy to sit, catch up, and talk about where we go from here. Let's return to your room now. Have you eaten? Sylvia shook her head, her face pinched and her mouth a frown. Douglas, bring breakfast for the lady. Come, come. Let's be on our way, Alex said to her, moving to the door and opening it for her. Sylvia walked in with her chin up, her face clearing quickly. Regardless of anything else, she was still of the peerage, and seemed to believe her station was unassailable, even if guilty of crime. They entered her cell and went to her table, and both sat down. Setting it down on the table, rather, to one side, Alex laid his hand on it. I take it this will be more than enough to find you guilty beyond a doubt, Alex asked. Sylvia sighed and looked up to the ceiling, as if for guidance. And then some. I had the servant flogged to death, and the body dumped, for all the good it did me. She said, shaking her head. To be perfectly honest, there's more than enough there to have me stripped of my lands, wealth, and, well, little title. What little title my family holds. Ah, and if you had to guess, how long would it take for me to sort through this and track it all down? Alex didn't like the idea of doing that. He could play the game and go through with it, but this seemed like a whole lot of ferreting out people and secrets. Years. If not longer, Sylvia admitted. That's enough to get you started, though. And then it just come down to how long it took you to unravel it. Aw, thank you, Never, darling. And due to the oath I swore, I cannot stop any of it. You really pinned me with that one, Alex. I had no idea it would be as bad as it is. Nodding his head, Alex could only agree.
He personally never would have sworn it. It would have been too hard to not get involved. I think this is a much longer conversation than we want to have at this time. Let's assume for the time being that you'll be my guest for a long while, Alex said. A solid knock on the door got his attention. Turning to Sylvia, he smiled and held out a hand. She smiled sadly and shook her head. Enter, he called out, turning toward the door. A guard with a breakfast tray slipped inside. Carla came in right behind him. Smiling at his personal guard, he'd wondered how long she'd slept in her private room. He'd only tried marginally to wake her, then had simply gone about his day instead. Sir, I have your morning letters. They arrived by courier, said the guard, setting down the tray in front of Sylvia. Turning to Alex, he held out several sealed letters. Thank you, Alex said, and Sylvia said at the same time. Carla moved to the corner of the cell, her right hand resting on a short sword at her hip. Sylvia, this is Two. Two, this is Sylvia. Two is my personal guardian. Sylvia is our guest for an interminable future, Alex said by way of introduction. He flipped through the sealed letters one by one. Carla grunted at that, staring at the woman. And yes, he likes to rename his conquests, so to speak, or his guests, the ones that he wants to indenture inevitably and interminably, with other names if it brings their attitude down a notch and makes them more handleable. So far, he's up to Two. I'm curious who Three will be, to be honest. Sylvia seemed perturbed when Carla didn't leave with the guard. My lord, is she? Sylvia asked, indicating Carla. She's literally my personal guardian. I trust her with my life, and have done so already, Alex said, setting the letters down on his lap. The king and a duke. I haven't met. Great. Now, before I leave you to your meal, it seems as if you wanted to discuss something else, Alex said, smiling at her. I was. Sylvia paused to look at Carla. Ah, discussing anything in front of her won't be a betrayal. Suffice it to say, Two is sworn to my service, Alex assured her. Sylvia nodded at that, her fingernails now brightly polished and well manicured again, tapping at her tray. This won't be over any time soon. I was hoping to get better accommodations. Perhaps the ability to meet with others and even enjoy the sun on occasion?
That could certainly be worked out. Let's start with the first piece, then. A better room.
I do have a number of personal rooms set aside in the keep proper for guests such as yourself. Would that be acceptable? Sylvia pursed her lips, then nodded, her eyes moving to his own.
Yes.
Great. Now, seeing others, are you talking about household members, servants, or just friends?
All of the above. I worry for my house while I'm here. Until you take it from me, it's still mine, Sylvia said.
A fair point. And lastly, the sun. I take it you mean to go on walks inside the keep?
Perhaps a trip down to the city every now and then?
Sylvia nodded her head again. Her eyes looked wary, her mouth flat, her hands now clenched in her lap. She realizes, he thought, those are all rather high-cost items.
How do we go about this?
Certainly. The room first, since that is the easiest. I can provide the room. It comes with a tub, a lovely bed, and all the normal things you'd probably find in my own room. And let me see here. And with that said, the price for such a thing would not be cheap, Alex said, contemplating the situation. Reaching over, he tapped the mass of papers she'd brought him. I want you to tell me everything in this, or that you know of, that has the potential to harm me or my country. By harm, I mean cause financial loss of a measurable quality, death or dismemberment, or threat to my rule. Even if it exposes yourself or shows your guilt in part in the matter. In return, I offer the room and exoneration for anything you point out. Sylvia rocked back in her seat at that, her mouth opening and then closing.
In other words, you'd have me become an informant?
Not in so many words, but yes. Though I'll add another piece to my side of the deal. If it helps, I'll never betray you as the provider of the information in any way, shape, or form. I'll devise a way to come across the information naturally without your involvement. Sylvia looked to the rough wooden bench they were sitting on. She scratched at it with a nail.
What would a measurable quality be? That's rather vague.
More than 1,000 gold pieces, I think, is a fair line to draw. Sighing, Sylvia stood up and clapped her hands together.
Then I agree, and do swear. Please, please take me to my new room. I don't want to spend another minute in here.
Of course, Sylvia. Alex said with a smile, and stood up as well. Of course I accept your oath and swear in return. We'll discuss your desire to go on walks another day. For receiving guests, how about we simply keep to our previous agreement? You have to actively work to better me in my image and my county when you can, as you're able. Sylvia gave him a strange smile and then sighed and nodded her head. I can agree to that and swear to it my oath.
Grand. Let's go see your room.
And as for whatever else is going to happen on this day in our book, that will just have to do that. Wait for another day. I hope you've enjoyed the story, y'all. And if you missed any of it, or would like to catch up on the beginning of the book, you just let me know. I record each story. And that way, on our website, you can catch up with the previous readings.
You always pout, Fantasy, and you're so, so, so cute at it.
I know, and it's so fun. It keeps you coming back to play with my boot. Maybe next time I'll bring a feather.
Alrighty. I do love being here with each and every one of you. It is my pleasure to read to each of you and to have you here. Thank you very much for your generosity and for your time. I'll be back again next Tuesday. At 5:00. At least for the time being. I will have to travel soon for the holiday, but we'll see how many readings we can get in between now and then. Alrighty. Huggles, y'all. Gonna turn off the stream now and give you guys back the music that Sherry so sweetly provides. Hugs and kisses, and see you again soon.